We are going to turn, please, in our Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and the chapter 20. The Gospel of John and the chapter 20. We have been looking at the tomb over this weekend, and again, we want to consider that in the last meeting of this conference that we've been having. John chapter 20 and the verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And Jesus saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have led him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which first came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Our gracious Father, we ask of thee, dear Lord, as we come and consider thy truth this evening, that we will again know the help of Almighty God. Take the words that are before us, we pray, and seal them to each of our hearts. I pray that thou wilt be pleased to give that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God. Take thy word and write it on our hearts. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When speaking of the tomb of our Lord, we often refer to it as the empty tomb. Empty because on that Lord's Day morning, our Lord's body was not there. It was empty. And yet it was not quite empty. There was something that was left behind. The grave clothes were left behind. The grave clothes being left behind are another one of the great evidences to the truthfulness of the news that our Lord Jesus was alive. We've seen some of these evidences in the past messages, but as I say, the grave clothes left behind are one of the great proofs that Jesus indeed was alive. There have been objections raised against the resurrection, and there are those that have come up with very foolish theories to try and give another explanation as to what happened on that particular day. And one of the most ancient is the claim that the disciples came and stole away the body, and having stolen the body, that they then claimed that the Lord had risen. And I say it's an ancient theory because it goes right back even to the time in which this took place, where the Roman authorities were paid to put forward this story. So the story of the Jewish leaders was that the disciples had stolen the body, and that they had done so just to be able to make this claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. But the grave clothes completely shatter that particular falsehood. In Luke 24, verse 12, it says, "Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." And so this is paralleling with verse 6 in the portion that we've just read. "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie." Now, when Peter saw the linen clothes, he didn't understand. So there was something there that caught his attention, but he didn't quite understand the explanation behind it. And so he looked at what was before him, and he tried to make sense of it, but he couldn't. But then John, who is described here as this other disciple, John, when he came into the tomb and he saw the grave clothes, we read something different. We read at the end of verse 8 that he saw and believed. That is, he saw the grave clothes and he believed that Jesus was alive. John saw the grave clothes and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. So what was this about the grave clothes? Well, if you look in verse 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." Remember, our Lord's body was wrapped in these linen cloths. And when Peter went into the tomb and looked, it wasn't that there was this pile of cloths lying there in the floor, like what you might have in a teenager's bedroom. Or maybe that's not fair to the teenagers, might be the grown-up's bedroom too. It wasn't like that. The clothes were lying out in an organized fashion. The clothes were lying in the very position that they had been when the body was inside the clothes. And that is emphasized in this detail about the napkin. The napkin in verse 7 was the cloth that was used to cover the head. So here, this cloth was lying not with the other cloths, but lying in the very place where the head had been. And when we compare different accounts of resurrection scenes in the New Testament, it seems that this headpiece was just round the back of the head, the skull. It didn't cover the face. Remember how there was that a child that was raised by our Lord. The mother is called the widow of Nain, Luke chapter 7. And in that scene, as the child was resurrected, he could immediately talk. And it suggests then that there didn't have to be an unwinding of linen away from the face. The face was actually exposed, which is an interesting detail, in that you may have heard of the Shroud of Turin, which is held by Rome in Italy, and some claim that this was the shroud in which our Lord's body was placed. And this particular piece of linen has the imprint of a face in it, which supposedly then is the imprint of the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many problems with that whole issue of that particular shroud. It's a relic just to try and earn money. That was historically its use. But it's most likely our Lord's face was not actually covered at all in the tomb. But coming back to this matter of the grave clothes off our Lord, what was it then that John really understood as he looked at the linen clothes? He realized that those grave clothes were showing there is no way that the body was stolen. And so what Mary Magdalene feared was that some other group had stolen the body away so the disciples would never have it. And John saw that that explanation was entirely wrong as well. What thief would take the time to unwrap the body? And not only that, having unwrapped the body, then to try and put the linen cloths back exactly as they had been. Surely if the body had been stolen, then whoever would have done that would have been moving as quickly as possible. And remember, there was the Roman guard. It's impossible that they would have taken such time to do such a thing. Also, when we think about the body wrapped, if someone wanted to steal the body, it would have been easier to transport it when it was wrapped than unwrapped. You think of the legs being tied together, for example, when it was wrapped, that would have been much easier then to transport a body. But then, if a thief had decided to remove the linen clothes, he wouldn't have done it as detailed here. They would not have been left in this organized fashion. So here John looked, and he recognized these clothes are in no way evidence that the body has been stolen. They're suggesting something different altogether. They're suggesting that Jesus Christ defied the garments, as it were. He rose. He resurrected through them. It wasn't like, as it was with Lazarus, that there had to be an unbinding. He defied the garments and he rose. We think that sounds strange, but remember, on that same Lord's Day evening, as the disciples were met in the room and the door was locked, the Lord suddenly appeared with them. The doors were shut, they were locked, but our Lord appeared, and so it was. He was able to rise and just leave these grave clothes behind. The grave clothes then are one of the greatest evidences to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. And of course, if the Bible didn't give us that detail, we would still believe because the Bible tells us. And yet here is something to give that extra assurance where to our unbelief. He did truly rise. So as I've said, the tomb was not entirely empty. The grave clothes were left behind. But as I thought about this, the abandoned grave clothes are surely instructive to us. They are suggestive of what was left behind with the grave clothes. And that's what I want to consider in the remainder of the time this evening. I want to see, first of all, that death was left behind in this tomb. The grave clothes are evidently associated with death. That's why the Lord did not take them with him. He left them behind because death was left behind. And so the resurrection of Jesus does stand as different from every other resurrection that we have in Scripture. Those resurrections were real. And yet those that were resurrected apart from Christ, they were raised to die again. So we think of Lazarus as he came forth from the tomb. His body was still bound in the linens, because he would die again. But not so Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came forth victorious. He had risen, and he had risen to die no more. If you could turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and here Paul is talking about this whole subject of life and death and the resurrection of our Lord. Romans 6 verse 9. knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. And then we have these great words, death hath no more dominion over him. How beautiful is that? Death has no more dominion over him. Death no longer has a claim upon Jesus Christ. And he left the clothes then behind, symbolizing this, that he had risen to die no more. Revelation 1:19, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hebrews 7:16, it speaks there of Christ being made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. An endless life. The writer there is speaking in the context of the priesthood of Melchizedek. There's no record in Scripture of the death of Melchizedek. And the writer to the Hebrews takes that principle and he speaks then of a priesthood that continues. And he says that is Christ. He is ascended and his priesthood continues. It will never be interrupted. He has died, but he is risen as the eternal priest. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2:14, the writer speaks of how Christ partook of a true humanity, Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And our Lord then endured the death of the cross, that he might destroy the one that had the power of death. And Satan then being the great accuser, Satan being the great tempter. Remember the sin that came in the Garden of Eden brought death. Satan has the power of death. Christ destroyed him that had the power of death. He left the grave clothes behind. And as we then think of how we are risen in Christ, every believer in the meeting this evening has experienced a resurrection. The day you were converted, you were raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. And having been raised to life, then, we are to live like it is so. The grave clothes are to be left behind. We are to live that new life. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you have this resurrection life, then have your mind filled with heavenly thoughts. We still have to live in the earth, of course. But we're not to be completely consumed with earthly things. We're to be taken up with the things concerning heaven, concerning our blessed Lord, concerning eternity. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And you see, in our unconverted days, we were under the dominion of death. Death held us, as it were. Hell was to be our eternity, as in Adam all die. And yet there has been that gracious intervention where while Adam's sin brought death, Christ has brought life. And we then who are the Lord's, we are to see the great privilege to leave the grave clothes behind legally. That is true. As the Lord sees us tonight, how does he see us? He does not see us dressed in grave clothes. He sees us dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are covered in him. And therefore, as we think of our sin, it's as if it was left behind in the tomb. Sin and death and hell has no dominion over us. Remember how Paul said in Romans 8, there is now therefore no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The devil can seek to raise accusation against you, but he cannot condemn you, dear believer, to hell. You have this position of being one that's raised. Now that is our position then, legally. And so then, practically, this is to be our desire. Let me, in my life, show that sin is left behind. The evidence of death is left behind in the tomb. We are not to wear it. Remember, we read in the Gospels of that wild man, the madman of Gadara. Where did he live? He lived in the tombs. Remember when the Lord cast out those demons? We see him then sitting with the Lord clothed and in his right mind. He had left the tombs behind. Surely we can also say that the sting of death was left behind in the tomb. Christ has overcome it. The fear of death was left behind in the tomb. We do not need to fear our death. Death was left behind. I mentioned on Friday, I think it was, that the ashes in the book of Leviticus points forward to Christ's burial. The ashes were to be taken to a clean place. And so Christ was brought to that clean place. That is, his body was laid in a clean tomb. But here we see the reality exceeding the type. For those ashes in the book of Leviticus, they would rot. We think of our Lord's body. It came forth alive. Death was left behind. All of my wrath has been taken. So then death was left behind in the tomb. I want to see, secondly, infirmity was left behind in the tomb. What I mean by that is limitations due to our human bodies. When our Lord came, he had a true humanity. Now, through the power of God in him, he performed many mighty miracles that would have seemed to have gone beyond those limitations that you and I know. For example, there was that walking on water. But our Lord did know frailty. Our Lord knew weariness. His humanity was real. And remember how then in Hebrews 4, that is taken to speak of how the Lord can identify with us. He is the high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And the idea surely has been set forth there is, our Lord, he took that true humanity, and how then can we say that our Lord knows nothing about anxiety and tears and so on? He does. He knew grief. He knew hunger. He knew sorrow. But when our Lord arose bodily, his body was changed. It was glorified. And we can say that there's a sense in which limitations were left behind. And if we let him mention then how he most miraculously left the grave clothes behind, that Lord's day he appeared in the room. with the disciples. The doors were locked, and yet he appeared there. The limitations were left behind. And dear believer, this reminds us that one day we will have a transformed body. One day from the dust will be raised a glorious new body, of which Christ is the first fruits, the guarantee. Our bodies will not be earthbound as they are now. There will be no death principle at work in that new body that will be given to us. No pain. No suffering. D.L. Moody told the story of a girl who had experienced an awful sickness. She was paralyzed. She became blind. The doctor came and visited her. And the doctor, unwisely, began to speak openly about her condition while she was still there in the room. I say unwisely, perhaps not in light of what followed, but the doctor said, "She has seen her best days. She's seen her best days." And the little girl spoke up, "No, I haven't. My best days are to come when I shall see the King in his beauty." The best will never be in this body. The best is to come in that reconstituted body that will be raised from the dust. He is risen. He left the limitations behind. So too one day will we. We shall see the King in all of his beauty. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Death was left behind. Infirmity was left behind. And then I want to see, thirdly, witnesses have been left behind. For that day when our Lord rose, as the two disciples that we read up here in John 20 went into the tomb, they saw the grave clothes. They didn't see Jesus as yet. As we saw this morning, the women saw angels at the tomb. And the angels gave to the women a message. "He's not here, he is risen. Go and tell." Now the word angel also means messenger. So these were real angels that were appearing at the grave, and yet isn't it true that they were also messengers? And today, as we take this and apply it to ourselves, you and I are left here as the messengers. The tomb is empty, but the Lord has not left himself without a witness. Christ has ascended, and yet the work of God goes on without the physical presence of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit is working through you and I. We are left here as the messengers. If you could turn with me to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And verse 4. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." It came to pass as they were much perplexed. And you and I don't have to go too far from this church building tonight to find people who are perplexed. People who are confused. People who are burdened down. In verse 5 it says, "There as they were afraid." And what is our message to them? At the end of verse 5, the question of the angels was this, the message of the angels: why seek ye the living among the dead? And isn't that the message that we are to go forth from this meeting with tonight? We're to go to the unconverted and we're to ask this question: why are you still looking for life in the place of the dead? Why are you still looking for life in the tombs of good deeds and religious deeds? Remember how during our Lord's ministry, the Lord talked about the scribes and Pharisees. They were hypocrites. They were like whited sepulchres. They were like tombs that had been whitewashed. They looked good on the outside, but inside they were full of death and rottenness and stench. There are those today that are looking for life in the tombs of morality. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Or it could be the tomb of law keeping. Remember that rich young ruler? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he failed to grasp that life is a gift to be received. It would not be through law keeping. There are those who look for life in the tomb of experience. If I could have a religious experience, remember, even I've had a religious experience, a very emotional experience, a moving experience. And many have confused experience with finding Christ. And of course, when someone truly does find Christ, there is emotion. And there is experience. But it's possible to have experience without having Christ. Our Lord spoke of how there would be those on the day of judgment would speak about how they cast out demons. And yet the Lord said, I never knew you. They had great experiences, but no reality. And for all the look of energy and enthusiasm, it didn't look like a tomb. And yet it was. It looked so much better than a tomb. And yet, in the end, it is given nothing more than the other tombs. Or there's the tomb of materialism and possessions. How many confuse material success with blessing upon soul. You and I have been left here then to witness to those that are seeking to find life in the places of deadness. And what a privilege is ours this evening to go forth with the good news. And our word to sinners surely is this: come see the place where the Lord lay. The tomb is empty. The work is done. That's really what the tomb was confirming. That the great words on Calvary's cross, it is finished. They were confirmed with the empty tomb. Come to Almighty God, we are to say to men and women. He is the God, not of the dead, but the God of the living. And perhaps tonight, despite all of your privilege, there could be someone in this gathering, and you're still, as it were, living in the tombs. And we as God's people are here tonight as messengers to your soul. It's time to leave the tombs behind and come to life in Jesus Christ. There is life for a look
at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. May you even look tonight to him that died upon the tree. May the Lord take his word and write it upon all of our hearts. Amen.